We are continuing our series on the trilogy of tithing benefits. Something good happens in heaven, something good happens in us, and something good happens in the earth. Now I want to move right to the last point because we just had a passing review on the first two points. But what is it that happens in the earth that's good? First of all, I want you to understand that what takes place in the earth is blessed by the church. I want to say right at the outset, something good happens in heaven. We discuss what that is. Something good happens in us. We discuss what that is. Something good happens in the earth. The earth gets blessed by the church. In the book of Psalms, the 24th Psalm, the first verse, it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. The world representing the people. The people of the earth. People that's on the earth. In order for the blessings of God and the blessings of heaven to reach them, it comes to them through the church or the people of God that's in covenant with God. So what is it that happens good in the earth? The earth gets blessed by the church. Say that with me. The earth gets blessed by the church. One more time. The earth gets blessed by the church. Is it any wonder that Jesus said that the meek shall inherit the earth? The earth belongs unto the Lord, and the earth gets blessed by the church. Another way of saying that is heaven enters into the earth by the church. Can you say that? Heaven enters into the earth by the church. One more time. Heaven enters into the earth by the church. Now, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and the 10th verse, don't turn there. Let me quote to you what it says. Jesus was teaching what we commonly know as the Lord's Prayer. And a part of that prayer that he was praying or teaching unto his disciples, spiritual laws and principles, was simply this. He said, when you pray, a part of what you say when you pray. A lot of people have problems with confession, and perhaps this coming Sunday morning, I'm going to get right back on it to counteract some doubts and unbelief that's happening. Because Jesus, disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus did not say, when you pray, just say whatever you want to say. Oh, God knows your heart. Just go ahead and say whatever you want to say. No. Jesus said, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. When you, that's all that confession is when we pray, we say what he says. That's all. You don't make up something. You say what he says, or you harmonize what you are saying with the word of the Lord. And a part of what he says when you pray is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where?
On earth.
On earth. So see, when we give, starting with the tithe, and you'll see how this flows together. When we give, starting with the tithe, what happens in the earth? The earth is blessed by the church. Heaven enters into the earth by the church. The kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven. Now, follow along with me, starting with the 8th verse. Will a man rob God? We've already answered that. Yes, a man will rob God. Yet ye rob me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and offerings. Then he says, you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. God is not the one cursing us. If you're not under the blessings of God, then you're under the curse. And whatever a blessing is, there's always the converse of that blessing, and that's a curse. You know, one of the things I thought about when I was performing, and I see the newlyweds here tonight, and we'll acknowledge them at the end of the service. But one of the things I may need to start interjecting into the ceremony that I have, when I pronounce the blessings of God upon the people that's getting married, I should also tell them the converse of that is judgment, and there is a curse. Because every blessing, the flip side of the blessing is a curse. If you do this, do that, and so forth and so on, then these blessings will be upon you. If you don't, then you're automatically under curse. Hello, somebody. And so he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Now, I want you to follow closely with me with this process once again. Verse 10 where it says bring, that's the process. Ye, notice what it says now, bring ye. Ye have to do this. Bring ye. The ye is personal. The bring is the process. Ye is personal. All, that's the portion. Don't bring some, but bring ye all That's the portion. It's a particular thing that he's talking about. Not a tithe, but the tithe. So bring, that's the process. Ye, that's personal. All, that's the portion. The, that's particular. And then tithe, that is the property. Meaning the tithe represents the fact that you have a revelation, as it were, that God owns it all. Now, before I get deep into this tonight, let me refresh us with something else. When we started out by speaking about the revelation of tithing. The revelation of tithing. Now, pay close attention, because the revelation is what makes the difference. You hear that term in the Christian House of Prayer quite a bit. A revelation of a difference. A revelation of a difference. The revelation makes the difference in what you do in the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, in the church. When we said the revelation of tithing, first thing, the tithe. The first thing, what is the tithe? The tithe, that's the first tenth of your income. Notice what he says. Verse 8, will a man rob what? Rob God, yet ye rob me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And what? Now, Israel was an agrarian society, meaning they were farmers or they planting and all this. So their tithe was the first tenth of their crops and everything else, including their money. But us, we don't have crops. Most of us are not farmers. So we go out there and we work. So it's real simple for us to understand. The tithe is the first tenth, not a tenth, but the tenth. It's a particular tenth. It's not a tenth. Not bring ye a tenth, but bring ye the tithe or the tenth. So the tenth or the tithe is the first tenth. Now that's what you give. Follow me closely. The tithe is the thing that you give. That's the natural substance that you give, the tithe. But that's not the revelation. That's just the natural thing that you give. There are many of God's people in church that give their tithe and they do not receive the benefits of what they have done because they do not have the revelation of doing it. Let me say it this way. The tithe, say the tithe.
The tithe.
The first tenth.
The first tenth.
That's the natural substance that you bring to God. But the revelation is tithing. The tithe is the physical thing that you give. But the spiritual thing is the tithing. The tithe is the physical. Are you following me?
Amen.
Now, the spiritual is what I'm concerned with. That's the revelation. Now, the revelation of the tithing is this. When I give, starting with the tithe, the revelation of the tithing is an expression of a revelation of who God is to me. When Abraham, and we're going to read some scripture, when Abraham gave tithes of all that he had, Genesis chapter 14, you'll find that there. He gave tithes to the high priest of his day, Melchizedek, and it says he gave tithes of all. And the pronouncement or the benediction was that God was the most high God, the possessor or owner of heaven and of earth and the deliverer of all of his enemies. So Abraham, who's the father of us all, when he gave, starting with the tithe was an expression of a revelation of who God was to Abraham, of who God is. Something else, the tithe becomes an expression of our gratification for what he has done and what we believe he's doing in our lives now. So I've already said to you that if a person does not give, starting with the tithe, that's the starting place, it is not a testimony of a lack of their giving. Remember, 80% of the people in the body of Christ, according to statistics, 80% of the people, they give 20% of the giving, do 20%, 20% of the people do 80% of the giving, 20% of the people do 80% of the work in churches across the world. 20% of the people are doing most of the work. So that means 80% of the people give little, less, or nothing at all unto God. I said to you, if that is so, and we have taken an inventory, I asked Elder Hicks, Elder Scott to give me a survey on how many tithers, and I told you we had anywhere from, the lowest numbers about 50, that's 0.5%, that's enough for me to shout over. Anytime that the statistics are saying 20% of the people in churches are giving, we got 50%, and the highest point had been up to 68-69% tithers. I mean, that's enough for me to shout out. But God is saying, don't shout yet until everybody get the revelation. Amen. God wants everybody to get in on this thing. Amen. Everybody to get in on this. But I said to you, if 80% of God's church, 80% of God's people are not giving, starting with the tithe, it is not a testimony of a lack of giving, but a lack of their gratefulness. God has given us hands, if you have hands, to work with, feet to walk with, a tongue to speak with. If you have a job, God is the one that's blessed you with that job. So we ought to be grateful for our salvation, for our deliverance, for our healing, that we're not going to hell, we're going to heaven. That's enough for me to shout and give God what belongs to God. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so Abraham had a revelation that God owns it all. He owns it all. Now, it says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat. Notice that, underline that phrase, that there may be meat in my house. Now, it's important that there be meat in the house of the Lord. Now, the kind of meat that he's talking about is not the kind of meat that you eat physically. But the kind of meat that he's talking about is the type of meat that Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. The disciples thought he was talking about physical food, but he was talking about something spiritual. And so he says that there may be some meat in the house of the Lord. I believe that we ought to come to church and the pastor should have a message that has been cooking, that has been stewing, that he's been preparing to feed God's people, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you come to the house of the Lord, the word of God should be preached there. Now you follow closely with me, because I'm going to show you how the earth gets blessed by this. Because nowhere else and no other place, no other institution should have or can have what we have, the Church of the Living God. When you go to movie theaters or you go to shows or whatever you go, bowling alleys, whatever you do, you don't go there expecting and anticipating to hear from God. But you come to the church because the word of God is promulgated from the church. So when you come to church, this is the place where you come expecting and anticipating to hear a word from God. A word about your life. How many of us know without a vision the people perish? And the way you receive a vision is by revelation. And the way you get a revelation is by hearing the word of the Lord. So when you come to church, what should be in the house of God is the word of God. And the word of God always manifests, or let me say this word. The word of God reveals the will of God. You don't know God's will for your life until you know what God's word says about your life. So the word of God reveals the will of God. Now, many of people, they get those two right. They get the word of God. They got the will of God. But friend, I want you to know, in the house of God is not only to be the word of God, which reveals the will of God, but also there has to be the ways of God. Therefore, we got to have the Holy Ghost present. Are you following me? Moses said unto God, according to Exodus chapter 33, if I have found grace in thy sight, then show me thy way. The Bible says, according to Psalms 103, that the children of Israel, they saw God's acts, but Moses knew God's ways. Many people know the word which reveals the will, but we better know the ways of God. Because it's only when you know the word of God that reveals the will of God, and by the ways of God will you have a work of God. No wonder a whole lot of things is not working in your life, and yet and still we can be quoting scripture, but it's not working, because you have to have the word which reveals the will, which we have to have is ways. And if you have the word, will and way is going to work. And so I want you to follow this closely. Now he says that there may be meat in my house. That's the meat in the house of the Lord. What is the meat? Can you say it as fast as I did? Of course you can. Let me give it to you one more time and you repeat it after me. The meat that he's referring to is the word. Say the word.
The word.
That reveals the will.
That reveals the will.
And the ways.
And the ways.
And now we have the work.
Now we have the work.
So a lot of people are trying to work for God, and God never tell you to work for him. If you don't have the ways of God, which is the Holy Ghost working in and through you, you're not doing the work of God. It's a work of the flesh. The only way it can be a work of God is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not by your might nor by your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so that's the meat that he's referring to. That there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, and herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Notice, plural, the windows of heaven, and pour you. Notice two things here. He says, if I will not open you. See, it's a personal thing. You is the person that he's talking about who's tithing. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now hold your finger there. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Hebrews chapter 7, if you would. The trilogy of the tithing benefits. Something good happens in heaven. If you were not here, make sure you get these tapes. Something good happens in us. And now something good happens in the earth because of us, because of the church. The earth is blessed by the church. And heaven enters into the earth by the church. Now let's start in Hebrews chapter 7. If you are there, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'll start with the first verse. For this Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek, for those of you who do not know, Melchizedek was the priest that came to Abraham after Abraham had a great slaughter. With 318 of his trained servants, Abraham was able to defeat about five kings and their armies. That was a miracle. Abraham knew it could not have been him. It had to be God. And this is the only time that you meet this man, Melchizedek. And Abraham recognized that he was the high priest. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave. If you don't mind, underline that, gave. Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Do you see that? How many of us know that the tenth part that Abraham gave was the tithe? Notice what it says. Abraham gave the tithe. Abraham didn't pay tithes. See, there's a revelation of a difference. If you've been paying tithes, stop paying them. And start giving tithes. There's a difference between paying something and giving something. You say, well, what's the difference if I pay something and give something? Because the receiver gets it. It leaves my hand, and I don't care if you call it paying it or giving it. Well, you better care, because there's a revelation in that. If you give your tithes or pay your tithes, I give my tithes. I don't pay my tithes because I'm not under the law of Moses. I'm under the law of Christ, which is a higher law, and that's the beginning place. I can't give less than a tithe. I can't give less than a tithe. Not if I'm under grace. Not if I'm saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. I got to give starting with the tithe. That's the reason why the tithe is meant to be the floor where we begin, never the ceiling where we end. Abraham gave tithes of all, a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation the king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, this man was king. There's no doubt about it. You see three kings there, and I don't have time to interpret all that. So move right to verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Now, this is not saying that this man did not have a mother or a father. This is not saying that this man did not have a mother or father. What this is saying unto us, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came on the scene and no one knew of his descendants. Are you following me? And those young brothers in the back, I want to make sure you sit still and be quiet. Get yourself a Bible. The next time they move out, you make sure you keep them out. Now going down to verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abide a priest continually. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. He gave the tenth. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi. Now follow this close now. The sons of Levi. Jacob had 12 sons. And one of the sons was Levi. And Levi became the priestly tribe. So he's telling us now, he's getting ready to show us something here. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, the priestly tribe, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment. Now listen, they have a commandment to do what? Take the tithes of the people according to the law. Now, when did this happen? Not in the days of Abraham. This happened under the auspices of Moses. Because Moses, remember what we have established thus far? That the law came by Moses. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he's talking about the tribe of Levi, this was under Moses. Now you got Abraham, follow me, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses is nowhere on the scene yet. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of them gave tithes. When they started paying tithes, it was under Moses' law. God made it a mandate that everybody had to pay tithes. Why? Because some of the folks weren't given the tithe. You see, they didn't have the revelation. So God is teaching, as it were, under the law. How many of us can attest to the fact that we realize that the law is a schoolmaster? The law was to teach us, instruct us. The law was to bring us to who? Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, but once faith has come, that is, once the law has brought us to Christ and we recognize that we cannot really keep the law, then we enter in by grace through faith. And the law is no more needed in terms of the law of Moses. Because now we are giving tithes, not paying tithes. And so it says, verse 5, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment. It was a commandment, a mandate to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Though they came out of Abraham, they had to pay tithes because they were not like Abraham. Meaning they did not have the revelation. And today we have people who do not have the revelation of what I'm talking about, the revelation of tithing, so they pay tithes and they do it grudgingly. They do it. I mean, when you talk about giving, you'd be surprised how many people would literally leave. You have people today, this is the truth. You have people today that go to ministries on post that say, I love to come out there, but You see, when you nail it right down and talk to them about their money, honey, I'm telling you, they are going because they say, I don't have to commit myself financially. Why? I mean, listen, I don't have to pay for anything. The military is going to pay for it. We can just go in there and we don't have to pay for anything. I was in a meeting about 2 or 3 years ago, and one of the... I think it was a Lutheran pastor or Episcopalian, one of those. We were in a meeting together, all of us, and one of the things came up in that meeting from the, let me just say Lutheran brother. He says, we're going to close down our mission church in the community because as long as you have a service for Lutherans on post, no one comes to our church because they don't have to be an usher. They don't have to do anything. They can just come and appease their conscience with absolutely no commitment. And the Lutheran minister was saying, if you keep your service, then we need to close ours down. There's no sense in us having one. So what am I trying to say? You see, people are dodging a blessing from God. People are do anything and everything they can do to get out of giving God what he says that they ought to give. Because you give tithes, you don't pay tithes. Now every time the opportunity comes for me to give, I have purposed in my heart years ago to be a blessing unto people. And many of you, I'm not bragging on myself, but I believe in what I preach. Many of you, if I stood you up right now, you can testify and say how Valerie and I personally have given you things, have given you money. And why? We believe in this. Given it shall be given back unto you.
Amen.
Given it shall be given back unto you. You see, there is such a joy in knowing that God owns it all, and I'm simply a steward of what He owns. I don't give you, let me let you in on a secret. I don't give you my money, I give you His.
Yeah.
To God be the glory for the wonderful things He has done. Many of you have blessed me and have given unto me. But what you're doing, you're simply giving me what belongs to God.
Amen.
Oh, if we can, Holy Ghost, help me. Listen, and every time you give, Elder Matthew has taught us, Sister Holcomb has helped to instruct us. Every time you give, we tell you to put it in your right hand and not in your left. Why? Because you give God what is right, not what is left. You put it in your right hand. You put it in your right hand and you hold up your left hand. Why? Because you give God what is right and not what is left. Always put your offering in the right hand. It represents that you have a revelation that when you give God, you're giving God what is right and not what is. Oh, somebody go ahead and give Jesus a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Steve. Verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them received the tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise or promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die, listen, and here men that die receive tithes. Now we're going to qualify this in a moment. But he's talking about the Levitical priesthood, the Levites, when they received tithes. In other words, they were giving tithes unto men that died. These men died that received tithes. But there, who received them? He received them. Am I moving too fast? Are you following me?
Amen.
But here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lived. Now remember what we're talking about. When I give, starting with my tithe, three things are affected. Something good happens in heaven, happens in me, and something happens in the earth. Now, when I give, starting with my tithe, I am witnessing, testifying that God lives. Why? God's going to show Himself.
Amen.
See, God don't want us just running around saying, oh, our God reigns, our God lives, God lives, God lives. God says, if you would bring the tithe into the storehouse, you can shut your mouth and I can open up the windows of heaven. I can open up my mouth and I'll be so up on you that everybody around you will see it's not you, but they'll say that they are the people of God. They are blessed of God. God wants to show Himself strong. He says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll be so upon you. I told you before, you cannot find a more descriptive verse of scripture in terms of revival than Malachi 3:10, because God says, I open up the windows of heaven, meaning whoever's sick, God's going to heal. Whoever's lost, God's going to save. Whoever need a blessing, God's going to bless them coming in and going out. God says, I'll be all up on you. My goodness, the light of God's gospel can shine bright.
Amen.
And when you are so blessed, you start looking for people who you can bless. I'm going to show you how the earth gets blessed by the church. Stay with me in verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes, how did he receive them? How did he receive them? Paid tithes. See, that's how he received the tithes that he received. They was paid tithes. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Let me read to you two or three verses of scripture we close. Matthew chapter 10. What it does for the earth. Hallelujah. The earth gets blessed by the church. Heaven enters into the earth by the church. God wants to bring some heaven down here. God wants to manifest Himself. And the way He does it is through the church. Without the church, the world is hopeless. Now you say, are you talking about the building? No, we are the church, the body of Christ. And the building is just simply where the church gathered together to receive kingdom business. Find out what the king wants us to do and where he wants us to go. And so right here, if you would, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, and we'll start with the, seventh verse. And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. I want you to know the kingdom of heaven cannot be at hand without tithers. Because God opens up the windows because of the tithe. Meaning if you're not tithing, the windows are closed. You can go and preach all you want. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. But these things will not follow your preaching. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Hallelujah. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Now freely give it. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse nor scrip nor for your journey. Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his that there may be meat in my house. You take the meat out of the house. How in the world can the world feast off of the meat? Through the church. That there may be meat, because the labor is worthy of his what? Is worthy of his meat. Ooh, somebody listen to that. Boy, if I just had more time, the workman is worthy of his hire. He's worthy of his meat. See, when you give, there may be meat in the house of God. Where do you get your meat from? From the house of the Lord. That there may be meat in the house of the Lord so that you can go out and feed the multitudes. I mean, listen, when the apostles, after Jesus got through preaching and teaching the multitudes, Jesus represents the church because he is the church. All of us are the body of Christ. It simply is a metaphor. The Bible teaches us that we are the body. We are the church. To call that once. Now, when the multitudes needed to be fed, the disciples said, "Send any meat. We don't have nothing to give them." Jesus said, "No, wait a minute. I've already taught you about the meat." He said, "What do you have?" And they said, "Well, we got a few loaves and a few fish." And Jesus took it. Oh, glory to God. Looked up. He looked up. I say he looked up. He had an expectation. He knew where he was standing. He looked up. He said he looked up to heaven. He was set. Jesus knew he was set under heaven. And he looked up to heaven. Prayed unto the Father, took the bread, the loaves, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Now go ahead and feed the multitudes. Go ahead and feed the multitudes." Here you find right here, it says the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall. Now listen, this is how the earth gets blessed. Mac, the earth gets blessed by the church. Heaven enters into the earth by the church. You take heaven with you when you enter into a city. When you enter into a city or a town, you shall enter inquiring who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Ooh. And when you come into a house, salute it. Salute the house. And if the house be worthy, let your peace. Where do you get peace from? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace. Melchizedek, he was the prince that we just read it. It says the Prince of Salem, the Prince of Peace. You get peace from the prince. And when you enter into the house, he says, let your peace come up on it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. You can put prosperity in there. You can put any promise and every promise that God has given unto us in there. When you can come into a house And if there's poverty in that house, you can release heaven in that place and pronounce God's peace. Pronounce God's prosperity. Somebody said, I don't have nothing to eat. Now you can give, listen, you can give to them and let them know that God is blessing you with this, my brother, my sister. But friend, teach them. Teach them. When you give it to them, teach them. God is going to take this little bit, and just like Jesus blessed, broke it and gave it, I'm blessing it, I'm giving it unto you, and God's going to multiply. Do you realize, friend, when the Bible says that after everybody had eaten and everybody was filled, there were 12 basket loads of food. They started out not with 12 baskets. I'm telling you, when we are sitting under the open windows of heaven with an anticipation and expectation, there will always be more than enough when God get through. There was 12 baskets. Where did they get all that stuff from? It was a miracle from God. 12 basket loads. Something else I want you to see. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 28. How does the earth get blessed? By the church. Genesis chapter 28. I ask you to turn there. Hold your finger there and go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to close in Genesis 28. But Acts chapter 2. Oh, glory to God. Ha. My. Somebody's got the revelation of this thing. I can feel it already. Somebody's believing this message. Somebody's got this. Now there's no sense in going to somebody else's home pronouncing peace. Start in your own home. You can take this message home and enter into your house and begin to declare and decree the prosperity of God up on your home. And you can walk in and release your faith. Because of what you give and because of the revelation in your heart. Aren't you tired of not having enough? Aren't you tired of not having anything to bless God with? To bless your brothers and your sisters. Aren't you tired of this? There's nothing greater than to be a giver. God so loved that he gave, and he want us to taste the sweetness of what it is to give. That's why he says it's more blessed to give than even to receive. Friend, to be a giver than a receiver. God is such a sharing God. He want us to get some of this, what he feels when he gives unto us. When he blesses us, when he blesses us, that's the reason why we can bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. There's nothing like blessing the Lord. But do you know what it's like to bless a friend? When you give somebody that you love, when you give somebody that you don't love. Jesus said that you can turn the heart of an enemy. He said, bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that use you. Pray for them that persecute you. Because then you will be like your Father which is in heaven. That's when heaven is coming down on the earth. Somebody shout for me, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Acts chapter 2, if you're there, look at the first verse. Most of us know this. This was after Jesus' ascension into heaven. And now he tells them to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Somebody say, suddenly.
Suddenly.
There came a sound. I hear a sound. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Where did the sound come from?
Heaven.
As of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. And it filled all the house. Notice where it filled. It didn't fill all the city. It filled all the house. Why? Where they were sitting. It didn't fill all the city. No, you take whatever you get filled with and you take it to the city. Earth gets blessed from the church. The church get it and the church carry it to the world. There was a sound from heaven. They knew where it was coming from, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it, that is, whatever was coming, filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all, and they were all, one more time, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what was given. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, listen, the earth gets blessed by the church. The church is in an upper room. Sound from heaven comes. It's the Holy Ghost. And what were they doing? They were waiting. Let me just throw this in there. Help me out, Carl. Let me just throw this. They were waiting. And the Holy Ghost came in like a rushing mighty wind. I'm going to tell you, friend, when the church start, when the music start, we should be in an attitude of prayer and waiting. The only one that ought to be coming in like a rushing mighty wind is the Holy Ghost. The only one ought to rush in with those dynamics is the Holy Ghost. And then it says, now, verse 6, are you with me?
Amen.
Then say, now. When this was noised,
when this was noised,
abroad the multitude came. Come on now, when this was noised abroad, the world, the earth gets blessed by the church. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came there. The multitude came. Friend, multitudes are coming to the church. The world or the earth gets blessed by the church. And when the multitudes came, do you know what they came to Jerusalem for? They came to Jerusalem to worship God. But where was God? When they heard a voice, when they heard a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, and when it was noised abroad, they were speaking in other tongues. They all came, and Peter stood up in the midst of them and began to declare, brothers, this what you witness and what you see, this is not men that are drunk as you suppose, but this is that. Hey, this is that. The world need to know this is that which was prophesied by the prophet of Joel. That God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your new men shall see. Hey, young men begin to see some visions. Joel's prophecy. Peter started preaching, and 3,000 souls got saved. Let me say it one more time. Peter started preaching and 3,000 souls got saved. Church was born in a blaze. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 28. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, yes. Oh, Carl, I didn't mean that, but you on that organ now. Watch it. Hey, glory. Genesis chapter 28. For the sake of time, if you would move all the way down to verse 16. Something good happens in heaven. Something good happens in earth. Hey! I got somebody going to preach with me tonight. Something good happens in us. Now what is it that happens in the earth? The earth gets blessed by the church. Heaven enters the earth how? By the church. That's how heaven gets in here. That's how God gets in the earth. That's how angels get in the earth. That's how prosperity gets in the earth. That's how the wisdom of God gets in the earth. It gets in the earth how?
By the church.
Okay, now, verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep. Shake your neighbor and say, wake up.
Wake up.
You can't sleep here. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Some people come in church and play games in church, don't even know that the Lord is in this place. The Lord can be here, and you don't even know it. And he was afraid. Hallelujah. Lord, show yourself that you're in this place. Cause the fear of God to come upon us. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now remember what Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Picture in your mind with me. See, the gates of hell and the gates of heaven are on the same highway. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my house. I will build my church, and the gates upon this rock, upon this rock, upon this rock. Jacob had a revelation of what Jesus was talking about. Friend, Jacob had a revelation that this is the house of God. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the gates of heaven. Now either the gates of heaven are prevailing or the gates of hell will prevail. It's on the same highway. On the same highway. Daniel prayed, and for 21 days he prayed because his answer was being held up on the highway of heaven. The prince of Persia was fighting against Gabriel, the messenger of God. And Gabriel could stand no more because Gabriel was not a warrior. Hallelujah. So Michael had to come, who's the prince for Israel. And the Bible says that Daniel's prayers were held up. Where was it held up? It was the gate of hell fighting against the gates of heaven. This is how heaven gets in the earth. And the angels know it. That's the reason why the demons know it. That's the reason why the demons try to stir up so much mess in the church. Because if the demons could cause there to be hardness of heart, unforgiveness in God's people, then the heaven cannot come into the earth by the church, because the heavens are shut up. If the devil can cause God's people to start robbing from God, then the heavens are shut up and no blessings can enter in. If God's people are not blessed, then the world cannot be blessed. There's a gate of heaven and a gate of hell. Upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build the church. Listen to what Jacob says. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow. You see, he was sleeping instead of having a revelation of God. He didn't have a revelation of the difference. Here this man was sleeping on that which could bless him, that which could bring prosperity unto him, that which could give him peace, the presence of God, the power of God, the protection of God. All this is in the house of God. Jacob couldn't see that because he was sleeping. Verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow. Now what is he talking about? Hold your finger there and look at verse 11. Referring to Jacob. Verse 11. And it starts with verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place. Now this place that he just so happened to light upon or end up on, it was the gate of heaven. It was the church. It was the highway to heaven. It was how heaven was getting into the earth. Jacob didn't realize it. Follow along with me now. And he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Woo, Mother Bell. Oh, somebody stay with me. This place where he was, the top of it reached to heaven. You're talking about bingo. You're talking about hitting the gold mine. Somebody need to hear this today. Steve, you're talking about hitting some. Jacob, it says, listen, and he dreamed and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. A ladder was set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. This is the angels of God coming and going. Up to heaven, down to earth, up to heaven. Jacob is looking at this magnificent scene. But listen to what it says. Angels ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord. Hey! Help me call. And the Lord. And behold, the Lord. Now you need to understand, it's wonderful seeing the angels of God ascending and descending, up and down, up and down, up in heaven, down the earth, up in heaven, down, taking blessings from heaven, bringing them down to the earth, going back up with petitions, bringing them back down. Jacob is seeing this magnificent, glorious scene. And behold, Jacob said, what is this now? Wait. And behold, the Lord stood above it. In other words, Jacob seen Jesus Christ is the door, and here was the gate. Angels ascended and descended, and at the top above it stood the Lord. Angels was coming, receiving petitions. The Lord was giving them the petitions, giving them the blessings. Take prosperity down. Take the peace of God down. Take the healing of God down. Angels was ascending and descending. Hey! We can get a revelation of this. Angels of God ascending and descending, doing kingdom business. The King of all kings, the King of all kings, he's sending down the blessings. Sending down the blessings. Jacob is seeing angels up and down, up and down, up and down. Jacob gets a revelation of this ladder. And then it comes down and says in verse 18, when Jacob woke up out of this dream, he rose up early in the morning. And he took the stone that he had put for his pillow, pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place. What's it called? And he called the name of that place. What did he call it? Bethel. He said, this is none other but the house of God. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow. Oh, hallelujah. I need you to see this with me. Oh, Sister Margaret, Jacob had a recognition that God is in this place. If it's called the house of God, God should be in the house. Oh, we can get a revelation. When you come to my house, whoever else is in there, you ought to know I'm in there. Or you ought to know I'm coming there because that's my house. Now, if you come to Elder Peterson's house and you're looking for me, I may show up here and there every now and then. If you come to my house and look for Sister Faye Peterson in my house, she may come every now and then, maybe once a year. But if you come to a person's house, they're going to show up sooner or later if they live there. Jacob recognized God is in this place. Now listen. And he recognized, when he said God is in this place, he recognized that God was in the place. I said that God was in the place. In other words, God wasn't visiting here. There was something about this place that Jacob knew that it wasn't simply a visitation from God, but God lives in this place. He recognized God. He also had a reverence for the house of God. Jacob said, wait a minute. I didn't recognize this God, but this is none other but the house of God. Now follow this closely. He had a revelation of this was the house of God. So he took the oil and he poured it on it. And then it says in verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, hey, 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 if God will be with me, ha, 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 ha. If God will be with me, that's a good question. Oh, can I just finish this? Look at verse 15. Jacob said, if the Lord will be with me, let's find out what God says. And God said in verse 15, and behold, I am with thee. That's the presence of the Lord. and I will keep thee. That's the protection of the Lord. And I will not leave thee, but I will bring thee what? Back into this place again. That's the power of God. Jacob, all you need to know, if God is in this place, then you got his presence, you got his protection, and you got his power. And Jacob says, he vowed a vow, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And I close with this. And of all, hey, and of all, yes, and of all, oh yes, and of all, hello, and of all that thou shalt give me, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. I'm telling you, the tithe is connected with the blessings of God to the earth from the church. Somebody stand up and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.